Before your presence, we are entering into the week of Thanksgiving. It's a little bit different for me this year. Generally, Debbie and I and family would be heading to Ohio to be with our families, but with Debbie's back surgery, we knew that there's a very good possibility that she wouldn't be able to make that trip, so we have no plans to do that this year. Speaking of her back surgery, seems like it's been, this week's been about a month long, I think. That was interesting. She had a bad reaction from the anesthesia, which is not unusual, but her reaction was unusual in that it took so long. It was 10 o'clock in the evening before we were able to leave the hospital. We didn't have any issues coming home. She got home, had a good day Monday. Tuesday wasn't too bad. Wednesday, things started not to look so good. The pain medication she was on had side effects that were continuation of dizziness and nausea and just not good. Thursday was, I was going to say bad, but Thursday was actually very bad. Friday was miserable. And so I called the surgeon and talked to them about changing her pain medication. And late Friday afternoon, they called in a prescription. And then about 8 o'clock Friday night, she was able to start on the new pain medication. And thankfully, she started even that evening, she felt a little bit better. But yesterday she had a good day, but she's following doctor's orders, staying in bed most of the time. She did get up and sat in the recliner for a little while yesterday, but she's doing much better, and we are very thankful for that. In regards to the surgery, we couldn't ask for anything better. I was waiting to hear what she was going to say about the previous symptoms that she had that instigated this surgery, but she was in so much misery from the effects of the anesthesia that she didn't say anything Monday night or even Tuesday until about mid-morning. She says, "You know what? She says, I don't have that sensation in my leg anymore." I said, "That's what this was all about." And so she's very thankful for that. She's handling the pain from the operation well. And so I know Caroline over here's got that coming up next month. And just we're going to tell you what to tell them to prescribe for your pain medication, okay, and what not to prescribe. That's something to look forward to. And we're very thankful for God's providence and leading us to a skilled surgeon and those that took care of her and for the healing process and all of that. We're just so thankful. But as we're entering into the week of Thanksgiving, it's a good occasion for us to think about what the Bible says about giving thanks to the Lord. And so I'd like to center our attention there today. First of all, God expects us and instructs us to be thankful. Interesting passage of Scripture found in Psalm 50, verses 22 through 23. It says, "Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver." Many people you talk to want to talk about the goodness of God, the love of God, and He is. You know, the New Testament teaches us to behold the goodness and the severity of God. God is good to us if we remember Him, revere Him, and obey Him. But if we forget Him, disobey Him, He says, "I will tear you in pieces. There will be none who will be able to deliver you." On the other hand, whoever praises, offers praises, glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Psalm 104 and verse 3 says, surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. And Colossians 3 and verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To which peace, the peace of God that he has made possible between us and him, he says, to which you also were called in one body. You were called into one body, the body of Christ, the church of Christ. You, all of us Christians, are called into this one body. We are all at peace with God, and we should all be at, and we are to be all at peace with one another. And that peace is something that we have with God, and that peace that we have with one another is something for which we are to be thankful. And be ye thankful. Be thankful that you are at peace with God. Be thankful that you are at peace with one another. Let indeed it rule in your hearts. I am to be thankful to God for my salvation. We are to be thankful to God for our salvation. We touched upon this a little bit in our adult class this morning from Judges. But notice here in Ephesians 2 in the first 10 verses, he says, you he has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world in your sins, according to the prince of the power of the air. You weren't revering God, you were revering Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. Just as God said there in that first psalm that we noticed this morning, that if you do not remember me, if you do not revere me, if you do not serve me, if you're not grateful towards me, you will experience my wrath. I'll tear you to pieces. But God, and we were all on that path of sin, that path away from God, that path that separated us from God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. Our sin made us dead. The wages of sin is death. We were separated from God, but God made us alive together with Christ. It's an act of grace. By grace you are saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come you might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Stop right there for just a moment, and I want you to notice with me what's being said here. We don't see anything here about thanksgiving, do we? We don't see those words. But we do see the expression that he expects for what he's done for us. God made us alive, though we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were children of wrath. We were living in a way that we could only expect the wrath of God rather than the goodness of God. But God, out of his love for us, acted mercifully towards us. That combination of his love and expression of his mercy is a display of his grace towards us. We didn't do anything to deserve his salvation. He gave it to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that, for this reason, that in ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus, for by grace you have been saved through faith. God expects us, as we are now no longer dead in our sins, but we are alive to God, he expects us to be about his business. We're going to be looking at a lot of passages this morning about thanksgiving and giving thanks to God, but we are to display that thanks to God, not just with the thoughts of our mind or the words on our lips, but in the direction of our life and the profession of our life, that what God is committed to, you are committed to. What is he committed to? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why did Jesus come to this earth? To seek and save the lost. So if I was one of those lost, if I was one of those that was going to perish unless I repented, that everything was hopeless for me unless I responded to the love, grace, and mercy of God, how should I express my thanks to him? With the fruit of my lips? Certainly. But more importantly, with the direction of my life and the purpose of my life. Do you wake up every morning thinking about the lost? The lost that you are going to come in contact with that day. At school, at work, at, I don't know, Walmart, wherever it might be. There are literally millions of them. And that thought in and of itself is daunting, isn't it? What can I do about that? But Jesus said, go into all the world. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Think about when he said that to that little band of disciples right there that included the apostles. And how are we going to do that? But they did. They turned the world upside down. How? Mostly by one person at a time. For the greater part, by one person speaking to another person. There were occasions that a multitude was addressed and thousands obeyed the gospel. But most of the time, the world got turned upside down because one person taught another person what they should do to have peace with God, be in fellowship with God. By grace, because God has graciously provided for our salvation and graciously revealed what we must do to be in fellowship with him, we have been saved through faith. So we hear it, we believe it, we trust it, and we obey it. That's faith. Our salvation didn't come from ourselves, but there's things that we are to do. It is a gift of God. It's not our works, lest we should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And when we walk in them, we are expressing the genuineness of our gratitude for our salvation. In Romans chapter 6 and verses 17 through 18, it said this way, God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Chapter 8, in the first two verses, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? The law of sin and death is that if you sin, you die. You're separated from God. That's it. But the law of Christ, His grace, His mercy, His love, and response to it sets me free from the law of sin and death. God be thanked. Do you? Do you thank God every day for your salvation? And in thanking God for your salvation, does it cause you to reflect upon, you know, there's a lot of people that need to be saved? In 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 56 and 57 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, because sin is a transgression of the law of God. But God be thanked, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, sin is not a trifling matter. It is being held away from God. But thanks be to God that He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I am to be thankful for His continued care and relationship. You know, it's not just once you're saved and thank God for your salvation and you're on your own now. No. He continues to be with us. Now we're in fellowship with Him. Now we know that He is with us. Just like God said to Gideon, I'm going to be with you. Gideon's like, how can I do this? I'm going to be with you, he said. And that's what He says to us too. God continues to care for us once we have been saved. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may yeah, about the time you think that you can, maybe this voice is coming back. It says, you better calm down, son. All right. But it is getting better. Okay. It is getting better. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon you, on Him, because He cares for you. God cares for you. Whatever concern you have, cast all of it upon God. God can handle it. Nothing's impossible for Him. He hears and He answers our prayers, and we will overcome. Philippians 4 and verse 6 tells us, be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We've noticed this passage many times. You guys probably already know what I'm going to say next, don't you? But the thing that impresses me, a couple things impress me about this verse. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. You say, well, it's just kind of in my nature to worry about stuff. Change your nature. Being a Christian is about changing who you are and what you normally do. Cast all your care upon God. God hears your prayers. He's going to answer your prayers. It might not be like a microwave. Sometimes it might. But He's going to answer our prayers, and have peace with Him knowing that He's going to hear it. When was the last time that you worried about something and it got better because you worried about it? You were anxious about something and it improved because you were anxious about it. That never happened. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. It's impressive to me where he put those two words in this verse. Because we generally have a tendency to think about, let your request be made known unto God and remember to thank him. No, it says, as you are making the request. In fact, before you make the request, thank God for the answer to the prayer before you ever have offered the prayer. Before you see the answer to the prayer, thank God for the answer. How many passages could I bring up here now that talks about when you pray, pray believing. Don't doubt God. If you're doubting God, don't expect an answer to your prayer. Believe in him. Be optimistic about your prayer. Know that he hears you. Know that nothing's impossible for him. So with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He continues, his continued care is revealed in his patience and his forgiveness. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16 says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, this is Paul speaking. Same Paul that persecuted Christians to the point of death, imprisoned Christians, was absolutely spoke against Jesus Christ as being the promised Messiah, and was out to destroy the gospel and anyone who would obey it. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord because he has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him through everlasting life. You ever talk to someone who says, well, I'm a pretty bad person. I've committed a lot of grievous sins. I don't know if God wants to save me. I don't know if God can save me. The sins that I've committed. Paul says, look, I am the primary example of who God can save. No one blasphemed the name of God more than I did when I said that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. No one did more against the cause of God, who desires for all men to be saved, than me. And so he says, that's why I'm the chief of sinners. That in me first, that I'm at the top of the list, at the one who is the worst of sinners. If you think you can't be saved, just look at me. And God saved me. He forgave me of my sins, and he's saying he will forgive you of your sins. If you will humble yourself and repent. It's not about what you can do, it's about what God can do in you if you turn from your way to live the way he teaches you. God does not judge us by what we have been, but by what we are and by what we can be. God knows what you are capable of. He designed you. He built you. He knows what you can do. All you need to do is humble Him, humble yourself, and obey Him. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, great passage of Scripture, there is no fear in love. That's because love doesn't think about it. Fear comes because you're afraid of what's going to happen to you. Right? But if you're not thinking about yourself, you're thinking about others and what they need, there is no fear. Perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. I don't know if I can do this or not. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. It's not about what you can do. It's about what God can do in you. I want to make these points in relation to this verse. His forgiveness releases us from fear and punishment. I'm not afraid of dying anymore. I'm not afraid of going to hell. Because I know He's delivered me from that. I know I love Him. So we don't have to pay for our sins. I don't have to be separated from God, here or hereafter. We don't have to suffer for our sins, because Jesus did both for us. Jesus paid the price for our sins in His death on our behalf. He suffered on the cross, certainly. But throughout His life, He was a man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief because of people's rejection of the love of God in the Word of God. The only thing I need to be concerned about is this one thing, that having forgiven us of our sins, as He forgave the adulterous woman of her sin, He then said to her, go and sin no more. That's what He says to each one of us. When we obey Him in baptism and rise to walk in newness of life, this comes up to sum it up in these few words. Now go and sin no more. Live for Me. Glorify Me in your life. Perform My righteousness in your life. I am to be thankful for the spiritual family which He has made me a part. Ephesians 1 verses 15 through 16 says, I also, after I heard of your faith, Paul says, I, having heard of your faith, church at Ephesus, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Philippians, very similar statement is made. He says about them, Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5, I thank my God on every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The church at Philippi had sent monetary support to Paul in his preaching of the gospel. And I'm certain in context that's what he's talking about, their fellowship in the gospel. But we all have fellowship in the gospel, don't we? We are a fellowship together with Christ. And as Paul rejoiced on every remembrance of them, we should be rejoicing on every remembrance of our brothers and sisters in Christ with whom we worship and with whom we work. I thank my God on every remembrance of you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. We've been so encouraged by the comments that have been made in the questionnaire that have been handed out. Encouraged because we see that those who responded, they are in perfect synchronization with what we, the elders, have in mind for the congregation. I think we're going to see great things happening here in the coming year. And I'm greatly looking forward to it. But notice with me, he says that we should be thankful for the tie that binds our hearts in love in Christ. We should be thankful for the diligent teachers who faithfully labor in their preparation for their classes and in the presentation of the material that they have prepared. We should be thankful for those who set an example of a quiet, dignified, godly life, who live holy lives dedicated to God, committed to glorifying Him. We should be thankful for those who are ready with a kind word of support and or a warm smile to greet you. I know Debbie and I are so thankful for all the expressions of concern that have been made on her behalf. She's received cards, she's received flowers, text messages. All of those things mean so much. And just coming to services, you can come and you might not be feeling real well emotionally. Maybe you're tired, but just to come and to be with one another and to receive that encouragement from one another, it's so important to us. In everything, we are to be thankful. Notice these passages with me. Ephesians 5 and verse 20 says, "Give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Give thanks always to who? To God the Father in the name of, by appealing to the authority of, He who is Lord, that is Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Colossians 3 and verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of or by the authority of." Be sure that you're conducting your life in a way that agrees with what God has authorized you to do. "Do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." When we pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ, our Savior, His Son. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now notice, he says, give thanks always for all things. Be anxious for nothing, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Everything, anything that's a concern to you, present it to God. Be thankful that you know that He hears you and He's going to answer you. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it within the authority of Christ and be thankful for the direction and instruction that He has given us. In everything, give thanks. You know, there's so many things that we just take for granted. Try not to do that. Anything that you are enjoying, realize that you can enjoy that because God has provided it. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Yep, God expects us to be grateful. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be. Think of all that He has given us, all that He provides for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing, every need that we have. Just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of those things will be added to you. I'll take care of that, He says. I've got that. The only thing you need to focus upon, putting Me first. Doing My will. Living to My glory. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So let us be thankful with the fruit of our lips. Let us be thankful with the actions of our life. Let us show God that we are genuinely thankful by revering Him and keeping His commandments, living to His glory. Are you? If not, and you're ready to start living for Him, if you have resolved to follow Christ, then I encourage you, we all encourage you to follow through with that resolve. Obey Him today. Confessing Him before men, being baptized for the remission of your sins, then rising to walk with Him in newness of life, no longer separated from Him, but joined with Him in life. If you're here as a child of God and you've separated yourself from Him, you're out of favor with Him, make things right today. Let us pray with you and for you. James says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Would you please come as we stand and sing this song?